Dear ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Nemetschek Group conference call. At our customer's request, this conference will be recorded. As a reminder, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. If any participant has difficulties hearing the conference, please press star key followed by zero on your telephone for operator assistance. May I now hand you over to Ms. Stefanie Zimmermann, who will lead you through this conference. Please go ahead, madam.
Thank you, operator. Good morning, everybody, and welcome to our conference call regarding the publication of our 9-month report 2017. We have prepared a short presentation with the most important figures and events of the last 9 months. At the moment, we are currently having 20 participants in this call, so thank you very much for your interest in Nemetschek. And now let's start with the presentation. I would like to hand over to Patrick Heider.
Thank you, Stefanie. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the financial results Q3 9 months 2017 of the Nemetschek Group. After my short presentation, I'm happy to answer your questions. Let's jump into the Nemetschek Group highlights Q3 9 months 2017. Despite negative currency effects, the strong double-digit revenue growth in Q3 continued. Currency adjusted growth in Q3 of 17.3%, organic growth on high 14.9%. Revenues in 9 months grew currency adjusted by 18.3% to €289.8 million. Please consider the fact that we compare the rates since Q3 to the equal base the year before as we consolidate Design Data since August 2016. Revenues abroad are up by 21.7% to €202 million. Also, Germany showed a solid double-digit growth. Recurring revenues, including real subscription revenues, showed a strong growth of 27.2% to €134.8 million. Also, new licenses developed well in line with 10.6% to €142.8 million. Let's turn to the second page of the Nemetschek Group highlights in Q3, 9 months, 2017. Our EBITDA level remains, despite strategic investments, on a high level. Mature brands are contributing to efficiency and we invest into strategic initiatives. EBITDA increased by 18.3% compared to the year before without the extraordinary positive one-time effect. 2 weeks ago, we announced another acquisition. Ryza is a key player in the structural analysis and design market in the US. Ryza owns a significant market share and is a key provider to top design firms in the US. With that positioning, Ryza completes our product offering and is also an important part within our strategic initiatives. The closing is expected end of October, thus consolidation starts in November. Therefore, we confirm at constant currency our guidance of a revenue target range of €395 to €401 million, a growth of 17 to 19%, thereof organic 13 to 15%, and an EBITDA target range of €100 to €103 million. High EBITDA margin level of 2016 will be maintained despite the strategic investments to secure strong sustainable growth and lower EBITDA margins of strongly expanding acquired brands. We also remain active in our M&A activities. Let's turn to the next page. Despite negative currency effects, the strong double-digit revenue growth in Q3 continued. Currency adjusted growth is in Q3 of 17.3%, organic growth on high 14.9%. Revenues in 9 months grew by 18.3% currency adjusted. Design Data and DRofus contributed €12.1 million. On the next page, we are showing our sustainable development of being a real international player. Revenues abroad grew by strong 21.7%. Stronger growth regions are Americas, Asia, and the Nordic countries. We continue in our internationalization efforts and see great potential to grow further in all regions. Also, Germany grew positively by 10.6%. On page 6, we can notice our great performance in recurring revenues. Recurring revenues were up by strong 27.2% to €134.8 million. The very strong increase is mainly driven by subscription contribution of DRofus and Design Data. Software licenses were up by 10.6% to €142.8 million. On page 7, our great performance in terms of profitability is reflected. despite the fact that we have lower margins of strong growing acquired brands, performing strategic investments, we increased EBITDA in Q3 stronger and in 9 months equal to revenue. EBITDA on 9 months grew 18.3% to 76.5 million euro if we eliminate the previous year positive one-off effect. On the next slide, our good margin performance is reflected in net income and EPS. Net income grew by 22.6% year on year to 42.8 million euro, which leads us to an EPS of 1.11 euro. The tax rate was with 25.7% below the year before, 28%. The reason for that is a deferred tax income effect resulting from a release of tax accruals for currency impacts on an intercompany loan. Due to a weaker US dollar in Q3 2017, accumulated foreign currency gains from prior years decreased. We expect the tax rate for the year of 27 to 29%. Let's move to our segment overview on page 9. The design segment showed solid 9 months growth. Revenues are up by 12.1% to 181.9 million euro on a high margin of 27.8%. The build segment performed a very strong growth of 36.5%, profitability on good level of 21.7%. The managed segment showed a very good growth of 17.7% and an improved margin development. The media and entertainment segment showed a solid growth of 8.7%, currency adjusted of 9.7%, margin level high but reflecting an average revenue quarter. On page 10, we see our very solid cash flow situation. Operating cash flow is up by 5.7% year on year, mainly affected by two major effects. A, strong increase in change of trade receivables because of strong September business. B, decrease in change of other liabilities because of one-off payment of Bluebeam earnout in February 2017. Investing cash flow is mainly driven from CapEx and the acquisition of DRofus. Cash flow from financing activities are from repayment of bank loan and dividend payment. The conversion rate is on strong 89% and is expected to remain on a level of 80% on a yearly level. On the last slide, we want to confirm our positive outlook for the remaining quarter, 2017. The market environment in all regions remains dynamic. The BIM market is expected to grow remarkable the next years. In this positive market environment, the Nemetschek Group is positioned unique. Same time, we are performing strong organic growth and via acquisitions, driving efficiency and performing strategic investments to sustain our future growth. Therefore, we confirm at constant currency our guidance of revenues between 395 and 401 million euro, which reflects a growth of 17 to 19%, and an EBITDA in a range of 100 to 103 million euro. Thank you very much for your interest in the Nemetschek Group. I am now happy to answer your questions.
Thank you. Now we will begin our question and answer session. If you have a question for our speakers, please dial 01 on your telephone keypad now to enter the queue. Once your name has been announced, you can ask a question. If you find your question is answered before it is your turn to speak, you can dial 02 to cancel your question. If you're using speaker equipment today, please lift the handset before making your selection. One moment, please, for the first question. The first question comes from Chandramouli Sriraman. MainFirst, the line is now open.
Yeah, hi. Good morning, Patrick and Stephanie. Just a couple of questions from my side. So first thing is, the last two quarters have not been great in terms of licenses. They're still growing quite well, but would you say you're slightly disappointed? Is there any reason that you can say? I mean, last quarter was the all-plan postponement. Have you seen some of those slip deals come back in the quarter? That's my first question. And in terms of the second, year-to-date, you've grown by around 12% or so. Your guidance is around 13 to 15. Can you give us a sense of how comfortable you are with the high end? Do you think it's still achievable? I'm aware of Q4 being relatively easy in terms of comparables, but any thoughts on that would be quite helpful. Thanks.
Yeah, Chandra, good morning. Thank you for the questions. First of all, to the license business, we don't see any threatening developments or any negative impacts. And by the way, we are meeting, by the way, the somewhere in the area of the guidance as well, because we even don't mention such things that we did a small reclassification last year, so we entered 11% somewhere, 11.5%. And yes, the Alblan release went very well. You see that also in the cash flow development reflected in a strong September business. But there are always some brands maybe have a different quarter because the year before quarter was maybe too strong. And here we can say we had two brands in the Japanese market in the design segment where I only would be satisfied at the moment, not extraordinary business. So Japan, Graphics of the Vectorworks is highly involved there. They had an average month. But all in all, we see a good license development. The 10.6 on the yearly level we see as positive. And of course, we grow in both areas, in the recurring part as well, higher because of the real subscription part of the Rofus and Design Data. So all in all, we balance that growth and we are happy with that development. So we don't see any negative signs on that one. And on the organic growth, yes, we are positive on that one and we do see it positive for Q4. To stay within the guidance and reach it healthy on a healthy way. And yes, as we always stated, we maybe go back to the normal allocation of the quarterly of quarters. The year before was extraordinary in Q2. This year, we already had an amazing Q1, and we have those FX impacts where we need to consider if we want or not. And this is clearly something we have shown, but the operations are running well in the organic growth. Does it answer your question, Chandra?
Sorry, can you hear me? Sorry, I was on mute. Yes, it does. Thank you.
Thank you.
Just maybe a quick follow-up in terms of the profitability of Build. We saw a step up. This quarter, can you give us a sense of how we should be looking at Build profitability in the coming quarters or even the next few years? Thanks.
Yeah, that's exactly reflected in our perspective, how we lead the group, as you know. And yes, we have a scalability into, but we also let a growth company like Bluebeam still in the part of 25 to 30% of growth. They are allowed to remain under the group average margin. But they have a scalability into, and the next years you could expect steps, but definitely we need to reflect also that we have a growth company, a strong growth company, by the way, two growth companies in there, and that's Solibri and Bluebeam, but that's coming from a scalability and efficiency step we did, and that's very nice to see.
Great, thank you.
Thank you, Chandra.
Thank you. We have received another question from Kalmunder from Berenberg. Your line is now open.
Hi, thanks for taking my question. I'd just like to ask you if you can provide a bit more color on the Build segment growth in terms of organic growth and constant currencies. If you can just understand what a Bluebeam is versus Navarre is these days, that'd be very helpful.
Yeah, of course. The Build segment remains the strongest one and the most dynamic one, as we already saw last year, this year, and it will remain like this. Of course, it's always difficult to say when a company is a little bit slowing down, but slowing down needs to be interpreted because slowing down from a level of 35% to 30 or 28% to 30 is still great. Bluebeam is currency adjusted, having a great performance this year. They are around the 30%, but in any case, again, being in the mid-20s, it's something great performance. And they're going more and more international. They increased their share in the international part. They being good developed in the UK, in the Nordics, also in Germany, and also in Asia. So that's great performance, and we expect them to see that in the next upcoming period as well. Navaris is all in all good. They are double digits in revenue growth. But of course they need to, as we always said, we see them at first focus in the DACH region and then maybe moving more into the European markets as well. They are in a strong competition market, but they're gaining attraction. The product is good, and we are okay and satisfied with that development. We also have, and you know me, as in transparent communication, it also is very important for me to give you some ideas about challenges, because challenges are improvement potentials. We have a design data unorganic part, because you noticed that one as well maybe, which was a Q3 where we were not so happy. And that was a little bit like the Solibri effect we had last year. As you know, we want to bring design data also to the European market, and it goes a little bit slower. So nothing dangerous, but they want to enter the European market as well. We expected them to do it faster, but the performance was in Q3 average only. And that's also paying into the unorganic part. And this is how we see the build segment. So all in all, the build segment, very happy with that. I mean, those figures are amazing. And I think they are reflecting the business, but good improvement potential as well.
That's very helpful. Thank you. Can I just have a follow-up? If I can ask you what the plan is for to introduce a bit more aggressively subscription offerings next year. I know you're never going to ask your customers to not have a choice or to convert, but just in terms of the way you see that kind of materializing over the next year, you mentioned previously that there are some plans to accelerate that in the future, especially with the pricing being a bit more, a bit better in terms of being more competitive. And if you can talk maybe through 1, 2, 3 main brands that are expected to go for subscriptions more aggressively next year, and also in light of the IFRS 15 revenue, how, you know, does that basically let you push subscriptions a bit more aggressively, considering you can recognize higher portion of revenue upfront under the new revenue standard? Does that affect your decision-making process as well?
Mm-hmm. So all in all, we remain with our clear message that we want to do a smooth transition. We don't push and force anybody, as competition was doing. As you know, I don't stick into that story. And yes, we have a clear plan for each brand. This is the value now of being a strategic holding organization as well. We clearly want to see those plans. We have those plans. And this is why we come up in new business, in new regions, more and more with subscription offerings. And it gains attraction. Yes, it gains attraction. It's not the biggest part of our recurring part, but it's also, and it's reflected already in an overproportional growth, that we're going into that direction. Give you some examples. We do with Profisoft, we do in new markets, we do a subscription offering, and apparently successful because pricing is apparently good, and they're gaining attraction in that part. And all those brands, all the bigger brands, and every single brand has a clear strategic. But it leads us to a smooth transition on a group level. And by the way, acquired brands, like for example, DRofus, it might happen, and then something nice, of course, for us, that they are already completely in subscription. DRofus is completely in subscription. STS2 had a high portion in it. And Riser will be a new player, which has a high portion as well already, being in transition already. That leads us to more different, but that's our problem, not your problem, to a transparency in guidance, of course. That's more difficult, more complex than for us, of course, as, for example, when somebody is in as Riser, for example, to guide them for next year, we will do that clean as always, but that already leads us to a difficulty when they are in the middle of a subscription move. So all in all, we don't annoy that trend. We are even happy to move that trend, but still in a smooth way. IFRS 15, we see not different from that topic. Of course, it influences that topic as well. But our standpoint is, and we do the examinations, and we have performed the examination, that it doesn't have a big impact on our business model.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Guy.
Thank you. We have received another question from Mr. Andreas Wolf, Warburg Research. Your line is now open.
Yes, hello, good morning. It's Andreas Wolf, Warburg Research. A couple of questions also from my side. I have one regarding the multimedia segment. I think, at least if I look at IFRS growth rates, it might not have fully lived up to your maybe plans or expectations. I just wanted to ask if there were any particular currency effects in the multimedia segment. And there was recently a report in the media that probably this segment might be less core than the rest of the business. So maybe you could provide us an update with regard to this business. Then I also have a question regarding Risa. Will it remain a purely US business? And how does Risa data exchange integrate with competing products? Is it already fully BIMable software that integrates with competing products as well? Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, first of all, Andreas, for the questions. Multimedia segment. No excuses. In the spotlight of being a member of the AEC company, Nemetschek, it's a little bit unfair to push them always into the 13 to 15% guidance, because they are, as you know, 85% outside the AEC core business. And in their business, in their peer or core industry, they are doing good with the almost double-digit growth currency adjusted. So yes, we are internally as well putting them a high challenge on, because we see, of course, the AEC business, core business. But in the end of the day, we need to admit at one stage that their market is their core market is in a different area. And this is why we are, it sounds a bit strange for the rest of the portfolio, okay with that development. To the rumors, I mean, there are permanent rumors about that one. And yes, it needs to be said as well, and we never say something else. It's not core AEC business, but we are happy with them, because as you know, it's a big portion already, 15 to 17% in AEC. There is more options to go. We integrated that rendering, and we think about they have the best technology in the market in their area. So yes, it could be, and we are evaluating always our portfolio, the whole portfolio, all assets, all 15 brands now, but nothing in detail planned about that one. So we are happy with them. The performance, when you look to the core business of AEC, might be average only, but to be honest, for their core market, they are doing a good job. The second one is Risa, very interesting, and your question goes into the exactly right direction. As we do see Risa as a very high focus and very, very famous in the US top design brands, design firms tool, we see them focused in the US because we have a good solution, and the European market leader is SIA. And together we see them as a technology supplier for our strategic initiatives when it comes to the strategic initiatives to strengthen our engineering position worldwide. So this is something new, as I already explained to you very often, that the Nemetschek Group is changing their strategic direction. And now we have two brands, even in a best practice approach, can share technology thoughts, but remaining focused on a territory. Because that software, as you know, is a highly localized software. As for example, in the concrete part, you need to localize your concrete code in that software. So it's difficult to go international. And this is why we are amazed about that acquisition as well, because they are paying in per technology into our strategic initiatives on group level. So they remain focused on the US business, to answer your question. And it's a BIM tool, yes. It's a complete BIM tool, and in that area we bought a great technology.
Okay, thank you. And just a quick follow-up, if I may, regarding a close integration of your several brands. I know there were attempts, at least at the beginning of the year, at the end of last year, to integrate the product portfolio more closely. Maybe you could provide us an update how you are proceeding here, if you are happy with the developments and how we should see the near term. Thank you.
Yeah, of course. Very happy with this project development. And we managed to change the culture here. Very good. Everybody sees a great potential for us in those projects. And by the way, I want to emphasize, and I tell it every time again, we don't change our general business approach. We are not merging brands together. We are keeping that strong business model we have close to the customers, driving the growth and the innovations, but we are technology sharing now. And those technology sharing ideas, that leads us to even sustain our growth rate, for example, the key account area, the bigger and the large customers. And here we are doing great progress. The strategic initiatives I mentioned are doing great progress. And again, that's what we always stated, is it will be next spring, in the beginning of next year, most probably maybe a word when we announce the guidance for 2018, that we can also come up with some economies and revenue development we are planning. But we are happy with those initiatives.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have received another question from Martin Jungfleisch, Kepler Cheuvreux. Your line is now open.
Yes, hi, good morning. I think most of the questions have been answered. Just one quickly on the modeling for FX effects in the fourth quarter and also maybe for next year. Do you have a rule of thumb for FX effects going forward? For example, what's a 1 cent change in the euro US dollar rate has an impact on revenue and bottom line for Q4 and maybe also for 2018?
Mm-hmm. For 2018, not really, to be honest, but for 2017, I can answer your questions. On the revenues in Q4, we expect a negative FX trend of 2.6 million. All in all, for the whole year, for the fiscal year, 3 million. That's our estimate at the moment, but you never know what happened, of course, at the moment estimate. And for the bottom line, we do see for the whole fiscal year 2017, 1.9 million euro.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have another question from Mr. Knut Wöller, Baader Bank. Your line is now open.
Yeah, hello. Thanks for taking my questions. A couple. Looking at the license trend, Patrick, can you help us understand what currency had an impact here on the license side? You broke it out for total revenues. What was the impact here on Q3 and also on the 9 months? Secondly, on SaaS, can you share with us what the share currently of SaaS is in maintenance, what percentage it is at these levels? And then lastly, with regards to the investment of in growth opportunities, normally we saw quite an uptick in margins from Q3 to Q4. Is this year going to follow a similar path as last year, where we saw that these initiatives basically had a negative impact on margin progression, which is also part of your guidance? Or should we expect here to see a substantially stronger fourth quarter again, which would lift us then probably above your own EBITDA guidance? Thank you.
Okay, first of all, for the license currency, for the currency effect on license, all in all, the 9 months impact is not that high. The 9 months impact is rather small. It's even not remarkable at the moment. 0.4, something like that, 0.5 in that area. And of course, in Q3, it was a bigger influence on that one. And we had 2 or 2.5% on this one. And I already gave you some ideas that I don't give even any red warning signal in the license business. I told you that, or the question before, the first question, that we had, especially in the design segment, maybe Graphisoft not as performing as last year, and Vectorworks also not. But this is not a signal which is a red warning part. It was in Japan. We know exactly where it was and the reasons why. So we do see it very positive. But you asked for the currency FX impact. On a 9 month base, it was not that high. Subscription remains in that area, 3 to 5%, and it's increasing, of course. But as I said already, to the whole idea of subscription movement, we do it smooth. But yes, it's increasing, and the part is 3 to 5%. And margin wise, we are we are going forward and moving forward with the strategic investments we have. And I would say, yes, the EBITDA guidance here, I would say I'm really confident that we meet it, even on the upper end of the guidance.
That's great. Thank you.
Thank you for the questions.
Thank you. We have no more questions at the moment. As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad now. There are no more questions. I hand back to the speakers. We have received a follow-up from Garmon at Berenberg. Your line is now open, sir.
Hello. I just have one follow-up on M&A. Considering the acquisition of Rice, does that mean that M&A is now done for the next few quarters, considering the fact that you like to digest your acquisitions first before you kind of embark on another significant one? And just on that note, what would you consider your firepower in terms of M&A then maybe for the next one would be, considering the fact that you just did the acquisition of Rice? Thank you.
Oh, thank you for the question, and it's obviously an important one, and no, we remain active. It doesn't mean at all, yeah, maybe in that structural analysis part, yes, maybe there it's done in that area, but as you know, we have a lot of so-called white spots in the portfolio, take the FM part, so take the manage part, but also in the design and build segment. The build segment was highly with three acquisitions the last years. Yes, now we included, we always say that the design segment is more or less done, but we integrated also two, the Rofus and now Riza. But in the FM part, we definitely have room for acquisitions here. And we are still actively doing, as you know, we delivered the targets the last 3 years, I think plenty of them. And yes, what I always stated as well is I would love to have from the size, and here is my pure heart of a CFO talking, from the size, from the whole financial model, another Bluebeam. Because for us, it's always easier to have that size because the complexity to integrate a smaller brand is equal to integrate a bigger brand. And yes, but it's not a wishing list. We have still a plenty of good targets on the short list. We actively working on them. And for the firepower, it still remains with our healthy cash generation, with the whole situation we have in the financing part, with keeping in mind that we can grow healthy with a 3x debt equity ratio, 3x EBITDA debt equity ratio, we have round about more than 200 million euro, 220 million euro of firepower, which leads us to nice ideas. So we remain active, and no, it's not somehow closed for the next couple of months.
Perfect. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. There are no more questions. I will hand back to the speakers.
Yeah. Thank you very much for your ongoing interest into the Nemetschek Group. We are doing our best, as you know, in Q4. I'm wishing you all the best for the remaining year. And we see each other on conferences and roadshows. And I'm happy to talk to you in every detail. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your attendance. This call has been concluded. You may disconnect.